what does it take to be really successful in this world? People who are really, really successful are really, really focused on success, you know, really thinking about it. Like you said, you know, reading the books, journaling, meditating, doing whatever. It becomes a practice, like a practice. It's like hockey practice. People are, you know, philosophy practice and really thinking about it and keeping it top of mind. And again, then it just becomes who you are.
Welcome to the Leaders of Tomorrow podcast. My name is Chris Thompson, your host of the show and the head coach of the Student Works Management Program. This is a show dedicated to young and ambitious entrepreneurs and ultimately the leaders of tomorrow. Each week, we will bring you an inspiring interview or message to help you create the future you know you deserve. Let's get started.
Hey, leaders. Really excited to be bringing Justin Mantha, our third year operator from the Chelsea Wakefield area. And Justin was a Mexico operator his first year. His second year grew by 50%, but didn't make the Mexico target. And then this year, he's already about 90% or 85% of what he did in his second year. He's already sold at over 182,000 last year. Last week, sometime, he was the number one vet. Right now, the vet board's very popping up and down with all sorts of top performers as of March 19th, 2024. And he's number four, number five at $182,000 on a $500,000 goal. And we just talked about just the levels of understanding that he's gone through, the levels of personal growth that he's gone through, what's creating the success that he's having now in his third year, but also, you know, hey, what was he lacking? What understanding was he lacking in his first year that had him not perform as well as he could? And then what things stood in the way in his second year? Why didn't he jump another big jump up? And so really, really great discussion. Justin's very, very authentic and courageous in his sharing. And I know you're going to love this podcast. It's incredible what we're creating this season. Right now, I guess this is the middle of May, that good chance you'll be listening to it, late May that you'll be listening to it. We're in the midst of our best year ever. And we'll quite soon be starting our recruiting season. We'll be bringing all of our vets back, or about half of our vets back typically. And then we'll be looking to recruit the top people in our organization. And then we start to look outside our organization in August. So we've got a window, August, September, October, really, where we recruit people outside our organization. So if you're interested, you know someone that's interested, you can send them this podcast. You can send them to our website at studentworks.com, or you could shoot me an email to connect me at cthompson@studentworks.com. I hope you have a fantastic day, and I know you'll love this podcast. Justin, welcome to the Leaders of Tomorrow podcast. So happy to have you.
Well, thanks for having me. It's an absolute honor to be here today.
Wonderful, wonderful. I know last week, a similar time, I guess right now it's March 19th, you were, during one part of the week, you are a top veteran. Right as of Monday, you were number four, right now number five. So lots of amazing veterans in the program, really, really doing incredibly well. Obviously, you're one of them, and excited to see, and we'll dig into just what's happening this season. But before we start there, I want to go right back to the beginning. You know, who were you like before the program, Justin?
Before the program, I was just a kid who was curious about the world and didn't really had any purpose or sense of where he wants to go in 5 years, or just... But yeah, a bit in a space where I wasn't sure what I wanted to do with my future life.
Okay. And then we were talking a little bit before the program as well, and just saying that you got introduced through the program through your coach. So you know, what was that like, and how did that happen with Louis Sabarin?
Yeah, well, me and Louis have been good friends for a long time. And I still remember when he got into the program his first year. And we were all excited because he was starting his own business. And me, Louis, and a couple of other friends always wanted to start a business. And seeing him as the first one to actually do it, we were all really excited for him. And after that, we really saw Louis' progression throughout those years. And that's really something that struck me about the program. I was like, oh my God, okay, people are doing big things and evolving into better person, better man. That really tricked me.
Yeah. And certainly you can see that with Louis. You know, he's just made, you know, and again, you know, he was successful like you were immediately in the program, and just the progression's been fantastic, which is fantastic. So why don't you talk about, you know, your first experience as an operator? Your first summer and first preseason.
Yeah, first summer went really good. I had great success. I made it to Mexico, learned a lot of valuable lessons, faced some great challenges. And the first year was a nice learning curve, I should say. And it was a very, I knew I was what I was gaining into beforehand, especially knowing the Louis and also the previous operator of my turf was Noah Condi. Also a great friend of mine.
Okay.
So they really like gave me a nice expectation of what I could expect of my first year. Went in there knowing it was going to be a great challenge. It definitely was. And I was happy to succeed.
Okay. And so what did you learn that you didn't expect?
I've learned quite a lot of things. A lot of things I kind of knew what I was going to expect. But the main thing I should say that I wasn't not expecting is how much leadership need, how much it is important for a business or any organization. How leadership is really almost the center of it all.
Yeah. And so in that first year, obviously you excelled, but now you're seeing yourself at a totally different level of leadership. If you think back to that Justin, you know, what was that Justin lacking, or what didn't he understand? Because that's part of it, right? I think so often in life, it's what I didn't know that I didn't know, you know, like it's really occurring way back there. I didn't know that that was happening, or, you know, so what sort of things would you wish you have known? And that's part of the learning anyhow, right? But what sort of things did you see there?
So definitely just understanding that it's 90% of the business is human relationship, right? So dealing with employee, dealing with clients, it's all human, just relationship building. And it's definitely something that I wish understand better at the time. I could just take more time with people and understand people better on certain ways and just have fierce conversation at the right time and really just building those relationships.
Right. And so was one of the things that you did, what did you avoid conversations, or did you find yourself in aggressive conversations? Where were you falling in the stream of conflict and managing conflict?
Definitely try to procrastinate on okay. certain conversations. That's
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah.
Waiting too long, and problem is while you wait for those conversations, well, the problems just get worse.
Yes. Exactly.
That's definitely one thing I realize is having it right now is 100 times better than doing it in 2 days or even further on.
Absolutely. With customers, with staff members, it's the sooner the better. Once I recognize it, let's have it. And that's something that we focus a lot on with our veteran team. Not to say we don't focus on with our rookies, but we can bring more tools. And there's just this experience of, oh, I see what I wasn't doing. I didn't see that I wasn't even doing that, right? Like we tell people, well, go talk to them immediately, you know, but it's until you actually see, oh, I didn't there and I saw what happened and I don't want that impact to happen again. So yeah, what was it as hard as you thought it would be?
Definitely, yeah.
Okay, definitely.
Well, it was not a walk in the park, that's for sure. Faced many challenges and, but again, with knowing a few people from the program beforehand really helped me just understanding that it was going to be hard. And that actually quite helped me a lot as I was expecting it to be hard.
Right. Okay.
So I just tucked my chin. I was like, okay, I'm ready to go. It's almost like a fight, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Bring it on.
Take some hit and I'll be prepared.
Yeah. Bring it on. I'm ready. So, and in terms of hard, was it hard effort wise? Was it hard with conversations? Was it hard you changing? What was hard about it for you, Justin?
On all those aspects. it was hard on stress level could be hard at some point and during the production. It was hard sometimes when you didn't understand a concept and you really had to dig in and find some people, find some ways to understand it better, finding great employee, maintaining great employee as well, and also just the organization part of the whole thing. Everything was a challenge for me at some point.
And so anything stand out for you to overcome to make this successful season happen, to achieve Mexico in your first year, which is obviously really, really challenging, you know, only our top quarter. Sometimes it'll get to like, you know, we set a number for our leaders listening. We set a number. The goal is for, you know, 25%. We've never only had 25%, typically a roll over to 30, but that's the number. People just seem to keep overperforming every year. But what about you in making Mexico? Was that something that, you know, you had in line, you were on track, or how did that work for you?
Yeah, it was definitely a target for me. And I had a great jump early preseason, but super good my first year. Then when production started, it actually took a little dimple. And after that, it took back right off. But yeah, so I guess my determination really helped me just get through to make sure that I hit the goal. I wasn't never gave up, even though I was a bit behind at some point. I just always remember to do what I have to do and never don't give up.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that happens with this target is, you know, Justin was 120,000 on a 140 goal at that point. The goal just keeps moving up. And so, you know, you need to book $20,000. And it was just like, well, I'm just going to go do that. I'm just going to go produce that. Right. And I'm just going to do whatever it takes to get there. And that's one of the reasons why our targets keep getting hit, because people just go, I know the number. I'm going to go get that number. So that's awesome. And so why don't you walk me through your second year? You know, what occurred for your second year? What surprised you, you know, et cetera?
Yeah. So second year, the game got harder.
Okay.
I was not expecting it. So that was the biggest challenge, I think, for me the second year. I completely the opposite of my first year. I was not expecting it to be as hard as it was. And that was the challenge I faced, because frustration was building up, negative self-talk, and all those kind of stuff got into the way of me hitting my goal. And it's definitely a valuable life lesson that I've learned, that you cannot expect things to be easier. One thing that I was able to learn from a great guy, you do know him, Austin Trudeau, and he really taught me that the game just get harder. It never gets easier. And that's the fun of it, right? It's if the game got easier, it would be fun. Yeah, my second year definitely was harder. I didn't hit the target that I wanted to, but I've learned, I'd say, a lot more than my first year, definitely.
Well, and it's interesting because so often this is a perspective, right? And so Justin's business grew from 150 to 220. I'm sure your percentage of profit grew as well. And you have this perspective, and he shook his head, and he has this perspective that he didn't do very well. And yes, he didn't make the Mexico target, and yes, he didn't achieve his goal. And that I think that so often happens for us. Right. And then, like you said, and then sometimes just things that happen maybe more easily in our first year of running business doesn't happen in our second year the same way. And we see that happen a bunch. Sometimes it can happen. Sometimes, oh, they got that again. What things didn't work as well in your second year that you needed to overcome that worked better in your first?
Definitely marketing. So early season was hard, really slow early season. That was one thing. And production as well, employees, I should say. That was different. It was harder to maintain with my employees. I scaled up. I had less time to actually take time with each of them, which resulted in them, some of them leaving, which didn't happen my first year. So it's those were really the main challenges, I should say.
So when we think about marketing was harder. Was marketing harder because you didn't put as much effort in, or were you overconfident? Or thinking back on that, did you sort of, you know, just think you got it? You know, like what was there? Because obviously the market likely was pretty similar, because you know the same number of people likely needed their houses painted. So what was there? Do you think?
Definitely was myself putting blocks for myself. I was procrastinating on marketing, expecting that I was so good that I could just do one session and come out with a 15 lead or something like that. My head was a bit too high, and I was just thinking that I could make it with a limited effort on it.
That's always a great, great experience. It's you know, you see it in sports all the time. The team that wins rarely wins again. And of course, they do win again, but they more often than not don't. And well, why is that? Well, because a big part of it is complacency. Big part of it is people forget how hard it was to win. Just they remember July and August, and they remember, you know, cheers at the banquet and yay in Mexico. They don't remember the grind that was January, February, March. And it's the same thing with sports teams. It's forget. It's about doing the work. It's not about the games. It's about doing the work in the gym. It's about, you know, the pain after leg day, you know, all that sort of stuff, right? And the struggle that I need to go out to be able to perform at that level. So is that what you saw in your second year?
100%.
Yeah.
That was nicely said.
Yeah. Nicely said. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's for our leaders listening. And, you know, Austin Trudeau, who is recently on a podcast with us, we keep having him back. He's fantastic. Is just knowing that my life is going to be hard. That's just a great thing. When we really get life is going to be painful, life is going to be hard. I'm choosing that hard. I'm choosing to be my best all the time and choosing hard things. And that's going to be my best way through life. You know, rather than trying to avoid it, think I got it figured out, all those sorts of things. Most people do that, but it's way more pain doing it that way, in my experience. Hey, leaders. I hope you are enjoying this podcast. As we approach and surpass 300 episodes, well over 95% of the leaders that we have interviewed have been alumni of the StudentWorks Management Program. It has been an honor to participate in their development over the years. Starting now, and only for the fall months, we will be on campus at universities and colleges in Ontario, Quebec, and the East Coast, interviewing students who think they have what it takes to start their first business and get started down the path of entrepreneurship. If you are interested in being a leader in our program, or know someone who does, please go to the show notes and hit StudentWorks and get sent to a landing page to apply. There is a bold StudentWorks that you can hit to go to a landing page to apply. Thanks so much. Back to the show.
Yeah, and definitely. It's definitely a philosophy that I'm really embraced this year of going through the hard things and just, because it gives me the fulfillment of life. It gives me a life that it's worth living for, right? It's definitely something that I've learned quite a lot.
Pretty amazing. So and again, I know that sometimes the Simon numbers might be a little bit off, but basically what I got was, you know, somewhere in around 140, jumping last year to 210. And now we are already sold at over $180,000. So holy jumping. Like things are different for you. You know, it's like, you know, going from a really good performer in our program to one of the top performers in our program. You know, so first of all, you know, what's your goal heading into this year? Like what changed? Like that's a massive change. What's happening for you, Justin? What's changed to sort of have this, you know, really stark difference?
Yeah. So I guess it's my life philosophy itself. I really like this option really took time to just think about who am I as a person? What are my values? And what do I want to accomplish in my life? And after, you know, my first year that was really successful and my second year that still was successful, but didn't hit my goal, I thought about what can I do to make sure that this year I'm actually going to hit a home run. And it's a lot, really make sure that I knew what my values are and living by it. Definitely that was one of the big change. And also understanding that I cannot hit those goals alone. So I made sure that I'm involving more key players into my business. And that is one of the biggest change I should say is being more of a leader than actually just doing everything by myself really helped me grow up this business so far this year.
So why don't we dig in with that? Like, so terms of, you know, the reflection in terms of, you know, kind of staking a philosophy. One of the personal development people had the biggest influence on my life was a guy by the name of Jim Rohn. A lot of his information still out there. He was Anthony Robbins's coach. And Jim talks about the five areas of life that are most important, you know, to really be successful. I can't remember specifically all five right now. You know, I'm sure there's money, there's career, there's health, you know, but I know one of the big things that for most people doesn't exist in their top is philosophy. And so he always felt like a philosophy of life was just a critical focus. And so for this business, we have a philosophy. The philosophy is embedded by me, my philosophy of life and is, you know, throughout the business. But what did you do to sort of get clear about what your philosophy was heading into this year? And what sort of steps did you take, Justin?
Well, I started with doing a journal. Each night I would like to just journal what my thoughts are and just put into paper what I'm thinking at the moment. That was the first part. And also just removing myself from distraction, like social media, video game, all those kind of stuff. And really just taking time to reflect on what I've done and who am I and who do I aspire to be? Who are my heroes? Who are my coaches? All of that. And just, I guess it's just taking time for yourself. It doesn't need to be an hour or 2 hours. It can be 15 minutes a day. It could be half an hour a day. And it's just on a daily basis, just thinking about those stuff really shape what I want it to be.
No, and if you think about what does it take to be really successful in this world, people who are really, really successful are really, really focused on success. You know, really thinking about it. Like you said, you know, reading the books, journaling, meditating, doing whatever, it becomes a practice, like a practice. It's like hockey practice. People are, you know, philosophy practice and really thinking about it and keeping it top of mind. And again, then it just becomes who you are. And again, I have no doubt you're going to have a ridiculously amazing season this year. You're just showing up as somebody just completely different. It becomes difficult to dislodge somebody when they're having the level of success. Now, of course, if we go back and we fall off those practices, of course we can, but we there's so much positive momentum that feeds the beast, as it were, the business beast and the company and the team members, et cetera. So why don't we jump to team members? You know, how did you go about recruiting those team members? You know, and we'll go there. Yeah. What about the recruiting and the enrollment?
It was actually funny. It was at a supper I had with a few of my mentors. And it was me, one of my good friends, and we've known each other for almost 15 years now, and two of our mentors. And my friend wanted to find a job in sales because he did another job in sales. He left that place. Now he wanted to find a new place. And we were just talking, and just a little light switch popped into my head. I was like, why don't you come work for me? We never thought about it. And it was just a special moment. Just happened randomly like that. And enrolled him. And really, he's been amazing. Really a great coachable person. And he really wants success as much as I do.
Awesome. And again, I put it to you that wouldn't have happened had you not been spending the amount of time thinking about how do I run a $500,000 business and what do I need? So all of a sudden our brain is thinking, oh, I've got to find other amazing people. And then all of a sudden we're going, oh, wow, I'm actually having dinner with an amazing person. What am I, you know, hey, let's go put this out there. Right. And that's one of the things that goals do. Goals have us then thinking about how do we actually create the goal? What steps do we take? So Why do you think you were successful in enrolling this person?
Definitely because I knew where I wanted to go, and I knew my values. So I just showed him my values and what I wanted to do, and that put a fire in him that wanted as bad as I do, because he could see himself wanting as bad as him, and our value really matches. So we knew we could do something great together.
Awesome. Awesome. And so other team members, what other team members do you have in your business so far as of March 19th, 2024?
So we've hired also great painters so far. A few from last year, from the previous year, and some new ones. And definitely the enrollment is getting better since, again, it always goes down to values, but showing them at the interview our values, making sure that they can match those values and they understand those values and they want to be part of this team. Really enroll the people, the great, the A player, right?
Exactly. And just anything different happening on a marketing side of your business versus past year so far?
Nothing too crazy. I'm still relying on door-to-door. Love door-to-door for that reason. It's a great way to find good prospect. So it's a heads-on, head-to-head conversation with people already. But I've also spread different ways. So I'm on Facebook quite a lot more this year, working on that. Also, I did my first home show. That was awesome. And I had the chance to be on the radio, local radio at that
point. Oh, great. So, awesome.
Yeah. So just, I guess being always involved into different things will create opportunities, and opportunity will lead to result. So it's always having a foot somewhere.
Yeah. No, and also if I look at your stats right now, you know, we've got about 100,000 through canvassing, and we've got 12K through Facebook, 24 through home show, 24 through referrals networking, 27 already in repeat client business. So there's all these other ways that we're doing around the core, you know, and already collected 245 leads. So a huge part of our business model is going out early when people aren't really thinking about it and knocking on their door and assessing their interest. And then as we go on throughout the season, we've got all these leads to call over the course of the season, et cetera. And then also more and more people start picking up the phone and calling us as the season goes on and seeing the scarcity of, wow, who can get all this work done, you know, in the Chelsea Wakefield area. So how do you think these skills are going to help with your career long-term, Justin?
Well, the skill I've learned is what makes me at the end of the day, I think. So it will help me so much as a person. It will help me at any career that I want. Like, you can put me in any field, any job, anywhere, and I know I can succeed because I know I have those skills. I have that I know I can succeed in any field because it's, you know, it's soft skills like leadership, sales, and all of those. It's useful in any field. You don't have to. I can be a great mechanic. I can be an engineer. I can be anything I want. And I have the confidence that I can succeed because of the skill I've learned in the work.
Yeah. Like, I think, again, if we look at any specific skill that someone's interested in doing, you know, then again, the augmentation of leadership, of sales, of marketing, of, you know, understanding how important it is to call people back and all these basics that we teach here are going to support, you know, being successful. So I can't agree more. And so what key habits would someone want to steal from you, Justin?
Definitely determination. Sorry about that. It's something that it's really into me. I never give up. I'm always striving. You can push me down and I will always get up. Put me how many challenges in front of me, and I'll face one after one after one after one without giving up. So that's definitely something that I'm proud of, and I think people that could really want to steal.
Yeah, no, and that's a great habit to have for sure. So anything you'd like to share before I go to my last question that we haven't hit yet? Anything that you'd like to share?
Yeah, it's just one of the greatest part of this program is the self improvement. and the connection that we've built with people. Those things are so valuable, more than all the money that we make in this program and all of that. So that's, I want to say thank you, Chris, for giving us all the opportunity to learn all of this and make great people, learn to make great friends, great people.
Yeah, well, no, you're welcome. And again, really, the biggest piece to it is really, you know, the incredible teams that we have that really work together to support each other. And obviously they work within the big team, and then we'll have like kind of provincial teams, right? You know, and there's sort of some camaraderie there in the different regions. And I know you're working with Louis Sabarin, who is just crushing it, and just a, you know, just an enormous group of really amazing, you know, young leaders who are just really, really achieving at a really high level. And that's one of the best things in life is get involved in a great team, because you'll just aim to want to be, you know, on that team, want to be, you know, if we can, the best of that team. And even if we're in the middle of that team, we're really crushing it. Everyone's winning, everyone's learning, everyone's looking to sort of step into their best self. And I think you're right. One of the things I always like to think about the program is, yes, you know, we're actually $1 million ahead in the painting side and $500,000 on the window cleaning side. So we're going to have our best year ever by a lot. But the exciting thing is not what we're just creating this year. It's about what we're creating for decades from now. And that's the game we're playing. The game we're playing is not just, you know, again, how much money you could make this year, but even how much money the company can make, because we already know we're going to win by a bunch. It's about what we can create for the future. And it's just when we have a bigger vision, it actually has us that much more excited, working that much harder, because again, it's not narrow. A lot of people, you know, are kind of just doing the job to get paid so I can pay rent and afford to go out on the weekend. You know what I mean? A lot of times that's literally what people's vision of their finances are, where, you know, for us, we're really living a lot bigger vision for our lives. So final question, when you think of a leader of tomorrow, Justin, what comes to mind?
Oh, wow. Great question. Leaders of tomorrow are people that are going to make the world's better place. Definitely gonna level up the people that surrounds them. People that will make other people successful.
Love it. Yeah. So it's really leaders are going to help other leaders and help other people, and that helps us all. So can't agree more. That's really my vision of things as well. Well, Justin, thanks so much for joining us, and just an amazing podcast, and really excited to see you go hit your and exceed over your $500,000 goal. Very, very exciting to make that happen.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Chris, for having me.
You're welcome. Hey, leaders. I hope you enjoyed this episode. By now, you are aware that we work with ambitious students every single year to not only help them run their first successful business, but to further their development as a leader and give them an unfair advantage in the future over their counterparts. It's why starting now and only for the next few weeks, we'll be on campuses across Ontario, Quebec, and the East Coast interviewing students who think they have what it takes to start their first business and get started down their path of entrepreneurship. If you think you have what it takes or know someone who might be interested, visit leaderspodcast.ca/apply and start your application process today. Once again, it's leaderspodcast.ca/apply, and I can't wait to see you on the other side.